up on you.
Power is gonna restore 15 to 20 million
jobs. I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio. Today with me, I have two very distinguished guests, our consumer advocate, Joseph Evangelist, and a member of our panel, Nicholas Groch. I first would like to ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860 AM radio, which, as you know, serves Philadelphia and the tri-state area, and people from anywhere in the USA or across the world can tune us in simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link on the left-hand side of the page. We're going to be talking about many issues today, mainly about ways that we can share our talents and also bring about some new and important ways to employ Americans. The political conventions, the Democrats are still continuing, and I'll be listening closely to what they have to say, and I'll give my opinion on this Saturday's commentary of what I thought about the political conventions. But in my travels, I'm always pleased to see that people in every area of the USA, and we had a great festival at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, this past weekend during Labor Day weekend. It continues this coming Saturday and Sunday, the 8th and 9th, and all of you are invited. For additional information, you can go to the top link located on PolishAmericanCenter.com. But as I speak to people who are there at the festival, everyone is now in tune to the problem of the imbalance of the products that we're wearing, the products that are available in our stores, for our kitchens, for our living rooms. Everything went foreign in the last 30 years. And quite frankly, many of the people saw that it was happening, but they never believed that our political leaders would allow this to happen to us. So what we're trying to do through this Buy American Made campaign, and American Workers Need You, as well as American Workers Radio, is to ask people to join us to share responsibility to help restore every aspect of America, and that includes jobs, our educational system, our communities, and the need to help one another. I want to tell you what I've been doing in the last few years. I mentioned this on my Saturday program, but as I go into the store in the morning for coffee or something, I made it a habit of saying hello to people. Now, many of the people, they don't know who I am. They just, you know, they see this person walk in the door and say hello. The next thing you know, the tomorrow comes and they say hello again. And then during the next few weeks, it's good morning, how are you? And, you know, we exchange some pleasantries. Well, that's what I'm trying to accomplish with the Buy American Made campaign, for people to speak up. Let's support one another. Let's go out of our way. And we, the American people, we have to share the responsibility by speaking up everywhere we go. One voice here and one voice there and 10 following our message in one area and 10 in another adds up to great success, but we'd like to really see that expand more and more. Now that Labor Day is past, we're going to be doing some new programming in the future. We're going to be welcoming calls in the future. In fact, we're going to be doing some additional programs during the regular Polish American radio broadcast. That'll be in Polish, and we'll do some in English. We want to talk to the businesses. We want to talk to the people who are involved in the community, and we want to share our successes and the things that we need to do to work more closely in the future. Today, I'd like to discuss some ways that we could help bring some enthusiasm for jobs. We hear about New Balance sneakers. We hear about the Made in America store in Buffalo, New York. We hear all of these positive things happening. What more can we do to get this ball rolling now that it's the fall season is upon us and people will start to go out shopping and maybe some businesses will be reconsidering to come in America? What would you do if you were the guy in charge, Joseph?
Well, I think one of the things we do is we have to look at the legal side of the business environment in the United States. I mean, in the last week, we had the big Apple Samsung verdict.
And the sad part of that, Joe, is why aren't they being made in the USA? I mean, there's a thousand excuses and it's environmental and all. I'm sorry. I really believe that has to be restored to the USA. At least 50% of it. I don't want everything. 50%, and then the American people have a decision. If we want to pay more for the American portion, we pay more. If we don't, then we buy the foreign made, and then we see how we make out in the end.
But you actually have to look at the other side. Is the big fight with Foxconn workers, where they've been saying, you know, we have to restrict their hours and we're complaining about their sweatshop environment, is Foxconn came in and they gave everybody a raise and they limited the number of hours that they can work. And you want to know what the response was from the workers?
What?
They complained because the workers move into the dormitories, they work 80 hours a week, they collect as much money as they can, and then they go out and get what they need. It's kind of like the person who takes a second job in the United States in order to buy a car or whatever. This is what the Foxconn workers do. They go in, they take these jobs, they work long hours for whatever period it is till they get what they're looking for, and they move on to another area, they buy a house, whatever they're doing. The United States making an argument is the workers are not happy with their cut hours. But we're still fighting. Is the reason is we believe that we're going to bring that back here. We have lawsuits between patent lawsuits in the United States. We have the California Nurses Union and the SEIU suing each other over who gets to run and collect the union dues for the nurses in California. So we have unions filing lawsuits against other unions over who represents the workers. They're not representing the workers, just suing each other over who gets to collect the dues. You have the machinist union suing Boeing for creating jobs in a non-union state. Not that they didn't, that they eliminated jobs, that they created new jobs elsewhere. So in an environment where nobody has responsibility is starting that, you have to look at the legal system.
You're
it's the same
absolutely
with medical.
Right. And I want to mention here, this is when I say I'm disappointed with the national leadership, that's both political and business leaders. If this has all been happening over a period of years, as I go around in my travels and talk to people, most people don't know the real reason why all of this happened to us. They just don't understand it. They say, well, it's the fair market and, you know, merchandisers decided to go out of the country and all. No, a lot of it is done at our own peril. We caused this problem ourselves. Our leaders didn't sit down at the table as we're sitting down right here at, on the in the broadcast studio, talking about what are we going to do not to let another job leave this country. This should have been done 30 years ago. We should have more jobs in this country. Back in, as I mentioned during my last commentary, in 1882, when the first Labor Day parade started in New York City, America had so much demand for products, not only from Americans, but from outside the world, that they started to open the doors back in 1882 to 1884 and beyond to bring in immigrants from all over the world so that we would be able to fill the positions. Here we are today, all these years later, that's 130 years later, and we need I heard it at the Democratic convention yesterday, and I heard it at the Republican convention during their speeches. They are acknowledging that 23 million people need jobs in the USA. But the number is way beyond that. It's 40 million plus when you figure in all of the boys and girls that are coming out of colleges and high schools and have never had a job, and they're not counted in the system because they've never legally been in the system where the government counts them. They've never been on anyone's payroll. We have the mothers that would like to get back into the job market. We have people after an illness that may have needed a job and go out now and they can't find it. But the thing that is really very disturbing to me that when I go out in my travels is America has homeless veterans because they can't find jobs. America has homeless children because their parents can't find jobs. What the hell is going on? We've got to cut all this bull out. The time for grandstanding is really coming to an end. And I hope, hopefully, that more and more people will join our bandwagon, the Buy American Made campaign. If you go on the internet, you can type in buyamericanmadecampaign.com and it'll come right to our site. We've been promoting this for some years, and I'm very grateful to the media who stays in touch with me. Some are using the commentaries during their public service time. They are coming around to trying to help people. That's part of what I said earlier, helping one another get through this and grow. We have got to grow. The people in Washington are only going to continue to drain us. The question is, how do we cut the rules and regulations and the taxes to make businesses want to stay here and come here to do business?
Well, one of the things that you have to do is you have to force people to take jobs that they don't like. Is the perfect example that I'll give is the state of Alabama, where they put in the E-Verify for the immigrants and whether or not you could hire illegal immigrants. Is there was a mass exodus from the state. I mean, people grabbed their kids out of the public school system and kids just disappeared. And so then they had all these people at the hog farms and the farmers and everything else had all these open jobs and nobody wanted them.
Well, that's true. No, but the thing is, we have to also remember that no matter if it's in America or anywhere in the world, that there are people who would prefer not to be in management or in any job that requires great responsibility. They would rather be in a lower level job because that's the way God made them, and they may not have all the opportunities that other people may have. So we have got to look at the jobs from A to Z and come up with solutions and not excuses. It's very true. If you can collect an entitlement, why should you go to work? It's the old expression. Why should I stand when I can sit? Why should I sit when I can lay? Why should I walk when I can ride? All these things add up to America becoming fat and lazy and not wanting to be part of what is really happening in the world. The world has hit the bottom of the barrel. We're now scraping the bottom of the barrel because we've allowed people to think everything is for free. Here we are. Open up the door and we'll give you and we'll give you. We can't do that. The fingernails of the people in charge are already worn down from scraping the bottom of the barrel. We want to have the barrel filled with opportunities. America is a land of opportunities, and we as the American people have to step up and make sure that more opportunities are directed to the American people. Otherwise, our children and their children will have nothing in the future.
Well, I was reading an article or an editorial by LZ Granderson on CNN, and here's one that catches me in the thing is, the cutoff for being middle class is $40,000 a year. And LZ Granderson's argument is, you know, a starting teacher salary or starting fireman salary is not $40,000 a year. So if you take...
How much is a starting teacher's and starting salary?
Between 36 and 39. But his argument is, you see, you go into these jobs, you come out of the school, you walk into the job, and you're not middle class. Therefore, you know, we need to bump everybody's salary up in order to do this.
I mentioned before, I believe there should be a freeze on all prices, all salaries, until this thing is sorted out. This has got to be sorted out. We can't, you know, this one raises their price, so the next one raises it. Here we are, coming up to the fall of 2012, and gas prices are again back up near $3.80 a gallon. How is that possible?
Because it's ethanol. We're using 50% of our corn
well, then we have
for
to
ethanol.
Do as we spoke about. We have to go to sugar or whatever we have to do to make some different blend that we're more self-sufficient in this country. We have enough opportunities. Let's get together and use them. Well, we'll be back. Hope you're enjoying the broadcast. And when I come back, I am going to Nick Gruch, and I want to hear what he would do to attract businesses to the USA.
I'll be talking food, school, and religion.
After a long day of play, give your kids what they really want. Great-tasting snacks and meals from Giorgio. Giorgio's delicious mozzarella sticks, toasted American cheese sticks, and macaroni cheese triangles will satisfy even your pickiest eater. Since 1928, Giorgio has stood for quality and nutrition, so you can count on them for great taste and convenient snacks and appetizers. Look for these great Giorgio products and more in your grocer's freezer, and for recipe ideas, log on to GiorgioFoods.com.
The office of Leon Mankoski, attorney at law, is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. His office is open Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours on Tuesdays. For more information or an appointment, call Leon Mankoski, attorney at law, at 215-739-8521. That's 215-739-8521.
For all of your banking needs, call on Washington Savings Bank, which offers checking and savings accounts, IRAs, CDs, home mortgages, and home equity loans, along with a host of other services at its five offices at 2701 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, 2548 East Lehigh Avenue in Fishtown, and in the Northeast at 2900 Comley Road, 10663 Busselton Avenue, and 8729 Frankfort Avenue. Banking hours at all offices of Washington Savings Bank are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Port Richmond Kazimierzwielki branch at Edgemont and Allegheny Avenue is also open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information about the many services provided by Washington Savings Bank, call the main number in Philadelphia at area code 215-698-9400. That's area code 215-698-9400. Or visit a Washington Savings Bank near you.
Everybody wants to be a rapper.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio. I'm here with Joseph Evangelist, our consumer advocate, and Nicholas Gruch, a member of our panel. And Nicholas has been listening to Joe and I talk, and I'm going to ask him for some opinions on what you would like to see done to help us bring back jobs, bring back enthusiasm, unite our people so that they'll get into the groove of the Buy American Made campaign.
Well, Michael, I think that, like I mentioned before the break, food, school, and religion. And we'll start with food. I remember hearing a while back on National Public Radio about how the Burpee seed manufacturing company was purchased recently. They didn't have enough demand. They had to downsize. I believe that the company was eventually purchased. I think it was purchased by an American company. I think it's still an American product. One of the things that I think that we can do to unite, you know, as we're talking about in terms of buying American and making American, is we need to look at the foods that we eat, okay? I think about how we have all these health problems because of what people are eating. All these people are eating Wendy's, you know, every day of their lives, or McDonald's every day of their lives. You know how many times I've been to Wendy's in the past year? Once, 2 weeks ago. Once. And so, you know, here I am, a relatively healthy, young American male, because of the choices that I make when it comes to what I eat. I've grown my own food. My brother and I used to live together out in Manayunk. We had a little backyard garden. We would grow tomatoes and pick them, eat them right off the vine. People don't do that anymore. Part of the problem, for instance, in the cities, which I will always preach the superiority of in terms of sustainability and reducing our impact on the natural environment around the cities, is that there's not enough space. Well, in Philadelphia, one of the requirements that exists in terms of stormwater management is that you need to be able to absorb any rainfall that lands on your roof in a new building with what's called a vegetated roof. You actually need to plant a landscape on the roof to absorb the water and prevent it from being discharged into the stormwater system in Philadelphia. It's a way to protect the environment. It's also a way to promote the use of American-made products, because there are a lot of American-made products that are used to build a green roof, as they call it, or a vegetated roof. One of the things that you can do on those roofs, since space is at a premium in the city, especially if it's a roof of a house that you might own or even rent, is you can plant rooftop gardens. You plant rooftop gardens, you have food, you buy the seeds from an American seed manufacturing company, and now you are growing American and you're eating something that was not there before. You've actually been able to use, for instance, here's the other thing. When it comes to food, stuff that comes out of the ground rather than stuff that eats things off the ground is a healthier thing for you to eat. Mm-hmm. A tomato is healthier to eat than, say, a cheeseburger with bacon on it. You know, let's face it, like, we don't need to eat all of this meat. We don't need to waste all of our land to grow cattle, to grow pigs, to, you know, raise chickens, and to produce all this feed that goes into these animals. We are carnivores, and I'm a carnivore, just like anybody else. I like, you know, a kielbasa, which we're going to have a little bit later on today after our talk today. But the thing is, we don't need it all the time. And so if we're willing to make little sacrifices like that, grow our own food from seeds that we purchase from American companies, we're going to be able to promote that aspect of our lives. The health aspect, the buy American, grow American aspect. Now let's get into schools. In the past 6 months, I've met at least five different photographers who run their own studios someplace in Philadelphia, and one in New York, and one in New Jersey. These people, you know, were educated in the arts. Where did they develop a love for the arts? School, high school, grade school. What has happened in the past couple of years? What have we eliminated from a lot of school curriculum? Arts. We've cut it out. Okay, and that's not a policy that was determined by Republicans or Democrats. That's a policy determined by the people trying to save money, you know, for other purposes.
The shrinking dollar.
Shrinking the dollar and then shrinking their budgets. Here's the problem. If you don't give people the opportunity to find something that they enjoy, like, say, photography, how are they supposed to go out into the world, like you're talking about, Michael, when they get out of college and, you know what, I can't find a job, forget it. I'm going to buy myself a camera and I'm going to go out and I'm going to sell my services to people who need them. Marketing, you know, you take photographs of products. You take photographs of a person in their office to kind of promote their services that they offer. But you find a way to market yourself in this type of an economy, just like, say, an architect might have to market themselves, like I am. So why are we cutting certain education spending when, obviously, I'm an average person. I don't rub elbows with the most wealthy people in the world who have their own businesses. But the thing is, I'm rubbing elbows with people that have their own businesses, and these people have their own business because of what they studied in high school. I'll get right to you after I start talking religion. All right, so now let's talk religion. As George Carlin said, if religion wants to play in the political game, why aren't they paying their entry fee? Why don't we tax everybody? We're taxing all these middle-class Americans who do all the work, who are the ones that have basically kept us where we are and brought us to where we are after we had all this trouble 4 or 5 years ago when the economy tanked. It's the middle class's back upon which the success that we've experienced, and there has been a little bit of success in the past 5 years. We can't deny it. Like, we're a little bit better off than we were back then. The unemployment rate is a little bit lower. But the thing is, it's not lower because of what people with all the power and money are doing or what the politicians are doing. It's because of the fact that people have said, all right, I'm going to buck up. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to work some way. I'm going to say, forget it. I'm a photographer. I'm going to go and start my own business. I'm an architect. I'm going to start my own business. I'm a contractor, and I'm going to become, I have a friend named Kevin who just recently started his own furniture making and contracting business. he's done it on his own, and he's done it because of the fact that he hasn't been able to find work, you know, with other bigger businesses. So let's get back to the whole notion of taxing. Tax religion. Tax the people that have all of this land and all this power in the political realm if they're going to be playing that game. George Carlin said it best. He said, let them pay their entry fee.
Well, I agree that everybody, there should be no one that is taking without giving.
Exactly.
Joe and I were talking about that for weeks. And believe me, Joe, as I went around to these different events, people like this to be stated by people like us, because we're not on one side or the other. We're bringing all things to the table and sharing that equally. We know one lady called me up, and I will never forget her. She said, Michael, I'm going to give you a few words after listening to you and your guests on the radio. No work, no money. Period. And that should be the policy of America. We find you a way to earn something. If you're unemployed, you're underemployed, we can find something for you. The idea that we are an entitlement and giveaway society is out of the question. And you're right, Nick. Anyone who's looking for a tax loophole should really have to prove that they are doing such unbelievable work that they deserve that tax loophole.
Earn it.
What are they doing?
Earn it.
Exactly. And it's like anything else. You can get a rebate on your taxes at the end of the year because you earned it. In the state of Pennsylvania, I'll just give you a very good idea of talking about that. We have a lottery system. Now, when they placed that lottery system in effect about 30 years ago, they said that all money would go to senior citizens. That has probably been one of the most beneficial parts of that service in the state of Pennsylvania.
You mean like Powerball, Mega Millions, that type of lottery? Is that what you're talking about?
The daily lottery, yeah, in Philadelphia. Okay. All those that support PACE, the property tax rebate, the water discounts for the seniors, for the individuals who don't have the opportunity to go out and earn more money, these rebates are helping them along. Then you have the fuel rebate, which comes along with the federal and state subsidies together. These are the kinds of things you want to support, because they're being supported by the people playing the lottery or some portion of our tax dollars. The thing that no one wants to support, and I hear it from everyone everywhere that I go, they don't want to support entitlements for able-bodied people. Why can't we find them things to do?
Well, one of the things that I think is, I agree with you, you have to tax everybody. And I also have a major problem with the fact that we have tax refunds in excess of what we actually pay in federal taxes. And Michael and myself had this discussion a couple of weeks ago. People complain, you know, I don't understand why I should have to pay federal taxes. You know, I still pay my state taxes, etc. The federal government gives each state money from the IRS collection. We also did the same thing with the stimulus. But here's what people don't seem to get a grasp on, is if the government is giving you $500 million for the Department of Education in your state, and there's not enough from the IRS side that they're taking because they're not collecting it, they're giving it back in refunds, which is the case, because after defense and after entitlements and after pensions, there's no money left for anything. Everything beyond that is borrowed today. So
it's like 20%, quite frankly, of the budget that's really anything that you can maneuver around, because the mandates are education.
The mandates take up 100% of the budget right now.
Well, they should be only 80.
Right. In 2024, right, you know, defense and entitlements will take up the entire, right, IRS piece. So everybody has to pay, because what you have to realize is the federal government gives it to the state. The state gives it to the local Department of Education. Now, what you have is, yes, you're getting your tax refund back. But as we found in the city of Philadelphia, is every year we continue to raise the real estate taxes to make up for the money that's coming, not coming in through the federal dollars.
Yep.
Now, here's the even better one where we've managed to, like, doubly screw ourselves, is we took our stimulus money and increased the union salaries. So basically, we got $100 million of 2 years or whatever it was during the stimulus, and we increased the salaries of all the union workers. So now what happens is we don't get the $100 million in year three. We need to raise $100 million in taxes in order to pay the salary increases that we've given the past year. In many cases, we also sign contracts to give them the raises moving forward, which means that in addition to the $100 million that we've guaranteed for the past 2 years, we need whatever it is, the 4% on top of it. And so what do we have a problem is? We now have salaries eating up a larger portion of what we have. So what have we done this year? We closed schools in Philadelphia. We've closed a batch of schools. We've laid off a batch of the lower level people, and we've taken the principals and the high ranking people from these schools and moved them. So my son's school is supposedly losing a batch of the aides who help the children, but we're picking a vice principal at the tune of $135,000 a year.
Right.
So the catch here is what we're doing is we're going in and we're fighting this area where we need to move the raises up. So you look at something like the Neshaminy School District. The average person with benefits is $107,000 that it costs the taxpayers a year for one teacher on average. So the union's argument there is you can raise the taxes every year by 1.9% under Act 1. You should raise it every year to give us that because we need more. As they stated in the union rep for the teachers in Wisconsin said, is if it's not money in our pocket, it doesn't count, which means $25,000 a year in benefits, they don't consider viable because it's not take home. So the argument that you have here is we have these huge expenses and we're spending more money on staff and less money on what the kids get. My children need to bring copy paper to school this year because they need that. Toilet paper, hand sanitizer, soap, pencils, board erasers, batteries that will be collected and used for other kids. I mean, you
all this while we're giving all these special interest groups condoms and everything else free. The education portion is on the parents again. When I come back, I'm going to talk about price freezes. We'll be back in a few moments.
Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, is available to handle your legal matters. She's part of the well-known firm Bennett, Bricklin, and Salzburg, and works in all areas of the law, including immigration, personal injury, compensation, and real estate. Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio is fluent in both English and Polish and welcomes clients to contact her from throughout the Philadelphia area and New Jersey. If you need legal assistance, call Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio at area code 215-423-4824. That's area code 215-423-4824. The Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance and investment organization, encourages you to open a PNA annuity. Your deposits are tax deferred. You can open the account with $500 and then make future deposits in any amount in your tax-deferred annuity. For more information about PNA annuities, IRAs, and life insurance programs, call the Polish National Alliance at their toll-free number 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723. And complete details will be sent to you from the national office. When you call, you can also request that a local PNA representative contact you directly with further details about PNA annuities, IRAs, and their many insurance programs. Call the Polish National Alliance at 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723.
Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond, another at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Dr. Eva Machak will provide you with quality dental care at affordable prices. For more information or an appointment, call Dr. Eva Machak at area code 215-739-2787. That's 215-739-2787. Dr. Machak speaks both English and Polish. Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area, as well as you can listen to us on the internet from anywhere in the world by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And by the way, right underneath that link, there is a second link that says Listen Anytime. And when you go to that link, you can listen to past broadcasts, spread the word about different messages that we have. On the front page of American Workers Radio, you will also see that we have a U.S. debt clock, which tells you exactly where we are in America right now, which means we are over $16 trillion in debt, and that every American owes $50,000 to the government in order for the government to pay all of the debts that it has generated over the last 35 years. Now, I encourage you to go to that site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com. On the front of the page, you'll see also our advertisement for National Small Business Weekend, which takes place this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 7th, 8th, and 9th of September. And I'm urging you to go into the various stores where you shop and let them know that you're supporting them, that you're looking out for their well-being, because the big box stores are great, but the small businesses in the community are also very important to us. Barbara Ilnitska and I were talking the other day, and we're going to be doing some special outreach programs during the regular program, either Monday or Tuesday each week, to talk with some of our businesses, some of the organizations, to see how we can stick together so that people can talk about what's going on in the communities and how we can mainly help one another. I'm really pleased to say that our commentaries and Barbara doing them during her broadcasts and our Saturday broadcast at 11 here on 860 AM Radio, we've been really sharing this message with people of all nationalities. And I want to, you know, tell you that by doing that, we are doing more to help ourselves than depending on others to help us. We're just simply not going to see that. We already saw that political leaders did not guide us along, and they were not the guiding force in our country. And that's why we need up to 40 million jobs in the USA. If they did guide us along, we would have jobs, and the only way jobs would go out of America if there were no longer enough people to work those jobs here in the USA. But we were speaking earlier about freezing prices, and I'm going to ask Joseph and Nick, what would be the benefit of freezing prices? Forgetting the idea of the unions demanding, forgetting the idea of contracts, I think America needs a point to sit back, to stop, look, and listen what's happening to our economy, to our job base, and to our businesses. Would jobs be better off if prices were froze?
You're not going to be able to do that is because of the American culture. Is there was an old adage that they used to say in Russia during the communist times, you know, they pretend to pay me and I pretend to work. You know, if you tell people that you're going to make $30,000 a year and you're going to make $30,000 a year for the next 3 years.
Well, I'm not talking enormous. I'm talking maybe for 1 year. Let's freeze it for 1 year and take a good look. In the process of freezing that, I would like to see what the real costs of each one, especially in government. Remember, we the taxpayers are the people who provide the money to government. If people don't have jobs, then our local government, our state government, and the federal government is not getting the money it needs to maintain schools and parks and all the other things that government is supposed to do. Joseph, a few weeks ago, you mentioned about 47% of the people not paying taxes. Well, I'll tell you, I had a tremendous amount of responses from that. And that sort of goes in with our freeze. People wanted to know what exactly, for a long time they've been asking me, what exactly does that mean when they say 47% of the taxes are not paid? When I am paying my property tax, I am paying my wage tax. And Joseph answered the question very well. He said, yes, you may be paying local and state taxes, but the federal dollars are not going to the federal level for the taxes. So when they come to distribute money back to the states and to the cities, there's not enough money in the budget, and that's why America is continuing to go down. Is that?
Yeah, basically the problem is the example that I would give you that's the simplest is look at California's water problem. Is when they built Las Vegas and all of these cities, they tapped the Colorado River and they built dams and they cut off the supply of water to California. And California has very stringent water regulations because, you know, they're not getting what they're getting, what they were getting naturally from upstream. And this is where we have the same problem with the federal areas. We have states that have implemented all these mandates and extra pieces based on the federal government funding it. I mean, we have lots of partially funded mandates. Chris Christie turned down money from the federal government because he realized that 3 years later he's going to have to come up with an extra $200 million a year. Mm-hmm. That means tax raises. So he was turning down some of these mandates. The Medicaid expansion is going to be one of these. Is a lot of states are going to opt out of the expansion because, you know, they say, yes, the government will cover 90% for the first 5 years or 10 years. Well, these states know that 10 years from now, they're going to have to raise $2 to $3 billion a year extra in taxes to cover their share of the federal government. The problem is the federal government continues to commit more money. So it's basically the water scenario would be California is increasing the demand. But they're giving the way up and they're building dams. So they're giving earned income tax credits. They're giving away adoption credits. And the IRS is, if you are getting a refund that is more than you have paid in taxes. So when you look at the first page and it says your total taxes, your W-2 taxes, your estimated taxes, 47% of the people, what they get back from the government is more than what they've put in. So the IRS is not a collection agency in this case. It is a wealth redistribution method.
Right.
The problem that you have here is these people are also receiving entitlement services. So they're basically, the argument that's made over this is these people are double dipping. They're getting food stamps, they're getting housing assistance, they're getting public health care, and then they're getting cash back from the IRS. So what we have is, we have a smaller portion that's paying in, and we have people who are getting multiple distribution streams.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard part is we can't continue this. Is it used to be we had, you know, one safety net program. It's Social Security.
Now it's up to 180.
Well, there's 87 different ones that the federal government runs.
Mm-hmm.
And over 50% of the people who are in there are on multiple programs. So the problem is in addition to their tax refunds, they're getting all of these programs. So I'll give you an example is, if I make $20,000 a year, I can get $20,000 in services from the government. We had this discussion before with the healthcare, et cetera. I can get $20,000 in services. But if I have a couple of children, I can also get $6,000 or $7,000 in tax refund cash back in addition to all the services. So I can get $28,000-$29,000 worth of money and services from the government, but I only earn $20,000. So my actual living, I'd have to earn $50,000-$55,000 in order to have the same lifestyle.
Now, Bear, that you're exactly right. And all of these entitlements are really what is scaring businesses away from the USA. Because a business owner and investors have to stockpile money to continue to give more and more to the government so that the government can continue to have these entitlements go on and on forever. What I would like to know is, how do we freeze the entitlements for those that could be working and not unfreeze the idea of them being in the workforce, whether it's public service or whatever, so that they're doing something to earn the dollars that they receive. We'll be back in a few moments. Sit back, relax, enjoy. Go to the telephone, invite a family member or friend to tune in. We're here on 860 AM radio in the Philadelphia tri-state area.
The office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zinn speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 3157 East Thompson Street in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. For your weddings and special events, call the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 215-423-0800. And by Steam My Carpets, which serves commercial and residential properties in the Philadelphia area. Contact Jay Grzeczynski at 1-877-778-3263 or visit steammycarpets.com. The law firm of Dominik Rostowski is located on the 30th floor of 1818 Market Street in Philadelphia. Whatever your legal needs are, contact the Rostowski Law Firm at area code 215-913-6090. That's 215-913-6090. You can also visit the law firm of Dominik Rostowski on the internet at rostowski.com. Dominik Rostowski, attorney at law, is available to assist you in the English and Polish language. Back to our broadcast here on 860 AM radio. I'm here with Joseph Evangelist, our consumer advocate, and Nicholas Gruck, a member of our panel. I'm Michael Blihosh, your Wednesday host. And as always, I welcome you to tune into our Saturday variety program. And we have people of every nationality enjoy the music and the information that we share. And I want to say that I met many of the people during the Polish American Festival there at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And they are enjoying our broadcasts here on Wednesday. People said that they learn a lot from what we discuss. And of course, they're getting more into being part of this grassroots campaign to help America turn itself around. We were discussing a few moments ago that about freezing some of the entitlements and maybe even the wages and everything else for a year so that America can stop, look, and listen as to what's happening. What are we going to do to end this nightmare that we're in? Because this one goes up today, the next one goes up tomorrow, and no one says a word. Look at the price of gas in the last few years. 3.5 years ago, the price of gas was $1.89 a gallon. Then it went up into the twos and threes. Then it went down a little bit and then up again. But no national leaders were there to help guide the issue and say, well, wait, we can see that we have too much dependency on this or that, so these prices go up. There was no one there guiding us along the way saying, we're going to do this so that prices can remain stable. Because the price of gas goes up, that means the price of bread goes up, the price of fruit goes up. And Nick mentioned earlier about planting gardens. All of these things are to help people to get involved, doing something positive to help themselves, and in the process become better Americans. What we have to do is look out for one another. And that's the idea of our whole campaign. Nick, if I asked you today, what would you do if you saw prices freeze and you were a businessman and you were looking to open a business and hire at least one or two people?
Well, when I look at it, and you know, I'm going to go from my personal experience as a designer and as a licensed architect now, price freeze for me would, I suppose, mean a freeze on the rate that I can charge per hour that I bill to a client. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
On everything. It would be across the board for a while until we see
any service offer.
Every service, gas, everything would have to freeze in place for a year.
And when you say freeze in place, do you mean freeze in place
where it is right now,
without being able to shift down? Because
it
here's
could
the
go,
thing:
prices could go down.
But here's
that
the problem:
would be the positive.
Well,
part of it.
See, I don't know about that though. Here's the part of the problem, Michael, is that in our industry, in the industry of architecture and design, architects and designers underbid everybody else, just like any contractor does, in order to get a job. And one of the problems that results from that happening, you know, it's a positive thing because it makes a service more readily available to somebody. But when you're bidding for work and you bid low, you know, every architect's office has experienced this, where you bid too low and then you don't have the resources to apply the personnel to get the job done well, or as well as one would hope that you get it done for the price that you bid. And
during the price freeze, everyone would have to sharpen their pencil to make sure that they're going in at the right price. The point of the price freeze is this, and it would have to be a tax freeze for a long time on the businesses. When I talk to people, they tell me not knowing the way taxes are going to be a year from now or 2 years from now has been very discouraging. You can't have your electric bill go up, up, up. You can't have the health care for your employees go up, up, up. You can't have your other operational costs continue to grow. Where does that money come from? You see, the government has just continued to put taxes on people. So they didn't really care what was happening in the business industry. Government taxed people, they were forced to pay the taxes, and they continued to go on without looking at the day-to-day businesses that were trying to employ the people that they were taxing. This is where the problem comes in. So if there's some kind of a freeze, I think a freeze would be a great discussion point to for businesses to come in and say, well, if I had a freeze, especially with taxes. I mean, I don't understand when they get together and they say, well, we need more money. When I ask what exactly is the money for, it's usually, well, you know, we have these increased costs and you don't understand, it's a lot of hidden costs. We didn't raise this or that in the last 2 years. What is it? Outline it for me. Send it to me. Email it to me. Fax it to me. Whatever. The answer is always some stupid answer that they can't tell me what it's about. They can only tell me they need more taxes.
Well, there's actually something that's come up recently with two of the unions, is that an arbitrator made a ruling which enlightened me as to the issue with the water department. If you recall, 4 years ago, the water department raised the rates over 20% over 4 years. And now they're going back and they're asking for a 28% raise over the next 4 years. The justification for the last one is we're going to have raises in the cost of workers because of a contract coming up. But they never really signed the contract. So people came up and said, well, how are you asking for a new raise in rates if you never actually incurred the cost before? Well, there's been two arbitrator decisions, one for the Neshaminy School District and one for the Philadelphia Firefighters. And basically what the arbitrator said is, when they sign the contract today, the contract will be retroactive to 2008 or 2009 when the contract expired, which means that they sign today and they retroactively get their raises for the years that they did not have a valid, an active contract. Which means that in the case of the Neshaminy School District, it's around $20 million that they have to pay in back benefits and pay increases to the union. And this is where we have a problem, is we are raising rates with the expectation that we are going to have constantly raising costs for all of these government employees and services.
Right.
So the pension costs go up. For example, 2014, I believe it is, the Department of Education pension is the pay-in is going to be 23%. So if somebody's making $100,000 a year, you have to put $23,000 into the state pension in addition to their salary. So the catch is you're having a, you have an employee who makes $100,000 take home. They're getting another $30,000 in benefits, and the taxpayers have to put another $23,000 into their long-term pension. So that one teacher is now costing $150,000 a year. And you say, well, we need more teachers.
Now, Joe, let me ask you something. We're talking about Neshaminy, but this is happening all over the United States.
Well, this is the 23% is the Department of Education.
Here's the thing. Who is approving that? Is that being approved by the taxpayers or the school board?
It's actually the state government. Is the issue, the issue that you have is...
Wait. The salaries are approved by the state government, not the individual county tax boards.
Well, actually, what's happening is the state government says that you can raise taxes 1.9% a year, local taxes 1.9% in order to cover education. So you can earmark that money for education. But what's happening is what we're finding is when they can't reach it, for example, the firefighters in Philadelphia, the mayor hasn't agreed to that because it will break the balanced budget, because it'll put require an extra $80 million that we don't have right now, and it'll break the balanced budget agreement in Philadelphia if they abide by the arbitrator's rule. In the case of Neshaminy, is, you know, the union's making an argument is, you didn't raise taxes in the past, you should have raised the taxes in order to get us what I want. So they're fighting it, and the school board is fighting that they don't want to agree with the arbitrator agreement. But in the case of Philadelphia, you have the mayor had 30 days to make a decision on whether he was going to do it. The union sued them after 15 days because they weren't getting a response fast enough. They sued them before the time limit was even up. So we have a lot of this where we're fighting over increasing the cost, and the argument is it's distributed across everybody in the area. Well, everybody in the area who has their taxes go up, that means their lifestyle goes down.
These taxes going up is really the response I'm getting from the business people saying that there's just too much taxes. I can't live my life working for taxes. I just don't want to do that anymore. And that is why it made it easier for me to outsource and deal with merchandisers outside of this country, because the American people will not look at labels. They'll just buy whatever they want, you know, as they walk through the stores. Our efforts through this broadcast is trying to change that. As we come near the end of our program today, I want to remind you that this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is National Small Business Weekend. Kindly go out and support your small local stores. Remember that our festival at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa continues this Saturday and Sunday, the 8th and the 9th. And I'll be looking forward to seeing you there. And on Saturday at 11 a.m., tune in right here on 860 AM Radio, and you'll enjoy our Saturday variety program. Until next Wednesday or Saturday, or if I see you there at Częstochowa, have a wonderful week. Don't forget to go out and support all of our small businesses during National Small Business Weekend. Dawid Zenia.